I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Join 105.7 The Fan's Baltimore Baseball tonight before every weeknight home baseball game at Pickles Pub as we broadcast live. Enjoy their 32-ounce Orange Crush. And on select nights, pick up a free 105.7 The Fan and Science & Kirk bucket hat, courtesy of Science & Kirk Lawyers. YouHaveALawyer.com.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
After putting up 10 runs in Friday's series opener, the Orioles lineup was silenced by a pair of lefties in games 2 and 3. Garrett Crochet carved them up with 7 strikeouts on Saturday, and Connelly Early had their number through 6 2/3 yesterday, with the only damage being a pair of solo blasts by Gunnar Henderson and Sam Basayo.
I'm going to take some of the responsibility. I hadn't really been getting on base for the guys behind me, and I feel like being able to do that, I just got to keep working my butt off. That's the name of it, is just keep getting on base and obviously give yourself opportunities to score early, and we know the pitchers will have our back.
There's Henderson on the hot and cold results from the Baltimore offense. Through 28 games this year, they rank 15th in all of Major League Baseball in run production. The O's will get today to regroup before the Astros come to town for a 3-game set starting tomorrow night. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. If you love playing Miss Pac-Man, you'll really love playing the new Miss Pac-Man scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. Please play responsibly. Miss Pac-Man is registered and copyrighted by BNEI. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, mostly sunny with highs approaching 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage. It's News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, save up to 50% off new windows from Window Nation. Plus, you could get them with 0% interest financing for 5 years. Sale ends soon, so visit windownation.com now.
News from the Nest, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. NFL draft is over. Jesse Minter's first draft as head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Eric DaCosta usually does most of the talking as he talks about talent evaluation and what the decisions were made to select certain players at certain times. But here's Jesse Minter talking about what Eric asked him about talent evaluation and helping out in the process here.
You know, it was really cool. I've always taken really a lot of pride as an evaluator. It was honestly really neat and fun to do a lot of different positions. First time really evaluating like offensive linemen and wide receivers in a different way than just preparing to play against them. You know, and to me, like the things that jump out as a defensive history coach, I would say, you know, the play style and how these guys play and just like the down after down mindset that they play with when you're looking at offensive players really jumps off the tape with all these guys. Their ability to make tough, especially like the playmakers, the skilled players, their ability to make tough plays, contested plays.
Yeah, the thing about it is, Bob, like, you know, what he's talking about. The two receivers is, to me, what he's talking about there because they make a ton of contested plays. And Lane, I mean, Bob, there's a couple plays over the middle. He gets cold cocked, you know, and he hangs on to the ball. And, you know, and with Surrett, I mean, that dude, you know, all he did was make a ton of contested catches. It didn't matter who they were playing against because they played against a lot of good defenses, a lot of good corners, and he just made plays, you know, throughout. Hibner, you know, he played against Miami, Bob. He had 4 catches for 36 yards, and, you know, he's blocking 2 first-round defensive ends, which that's what he's going to be playing against in the National Football League, and you know, he had his struggles at times, you know, in those games. But, yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, like evaluate, because Jesse Minter being a defensive coach evaluating receivers, you're just watching scheme is what you're watching, you know. And then, like, is the guy real fast? That kind of stuff. Now, when you're evaluating them on film is you're evaluating, you know, how does he run routes? Can he bend his knees? Can he get his pads over his toes? You know, can he run get by people? You know, does he use his hands? Does he push off? You know, a lot of different. So it is totally different, you know, evaluating compared to when you're watching him as a defensive coach breaking them down for a game.
Here's Ravens head coach Jesse Minter talking about what it was like to take part in his first draft.
They've done a great job of bringing the coaches in, and I feel like everybody on the staff really felt value and felt input into how we ended up with these players, you know, which I think is a cool quality to have, to bring people in and make it collaborative. But at the end of the day, man, it's just a cool, really cool situation to kind of see the team come together. You know, when you go into it, there's, I think, you know, 50 so players on our team, and you add 11, and then obviously we'll add more the rest of the day. That'll be really exciting when we look out there and there's 90 guys on the roster.
Yeah, and the most fun as a coach to me is watching the draft picks and the undrafted guys is the expectation, like who stands out, you know? I mean, because there's so many unknowns. All these coaches have done basically is watched them on film, you know, so now you get a chance to see them up close and you know, in person. And then as a coach, you get a chance to put your hands on them and work with them. And is this really kind of what I saw on tape? And, you know, because, Bob, like after the rookie minicamp, they'll go in right after practice and then they'll go over each guy. Each coach will give his opinion on every guy, you know, and you'll do that every practice. And, you know, and how do you see this guy helping and where's he fit? And then as rookies, then when they come in with the OTAs, how do they adjust with the veteran guys? And then, you know, with the mandatory minicamp, how do they adjust in the team environment? And are they getting better? That's going to be the thing. All right, we watched them at rookie minicamp during OTAs. Are they getting better?
Now, I know you want to see Venga at yes. left guard. With, you know, Emory Jones winning the job at right guard and John Simpson, who they just brought back from the Jets, being kind of a versatility piece. Here's Jesse asked about where Venga, where he anticipates he may play along the line.
Yeah, I think we'll start off thinking more of a guard, but I think there's always, I really think Coach Ledford does a great job, highly confident that we'll be able to put a great O-line together. The thought of how do you get your best five guys on the field, you know, no different than a guy like secondary or, you know, linebackers, it's like, how do you get the best players that can help you win onto the field? And so I think that's the great part about the offseason, getting a chance to work with these guys. It's a good time sometimes to experiment with people like that and see what the versatility that guys have. And then again, come September, you know, figure out where everybody fits best, where they can best thrive and succeed and help us have the best O-line.
Yeah, I mean, people say, all right, what's the difference between a left guard and a right guard? I mean, when your left hand is down compared to your right hand being down, and, you know, if for four straight years, or I don't know what if he played left guard, what he played in high school, but I mean, at Penn State, everything he did was with left hand down playing left guard, you know, and with Simpson, you know, because Jesse makes the point that we're going to put our best five guys. So, all right, so that's going to be Rosengarten, that's going to be Stanley. That's going to be probably Simpson, and that's going to be Venga. So does Emory Jones become one of those? That's going to be the thing that – and, Bob, and the thing with O-linemen, we're not going to really learn till we get the pads on. That's, you know, preseason games for Emory Jones Jr. That's where we're going to learn. And Venga, you know, he's going to get a lot of work, you know, when the pads come on. And they're playing against other, you know, practicing with other teams and stuff, getting some work there. And then he's going to have to play preseason games, too.
Now, we're going to talk about Zion Young here in about a half an hour. And Mike Green's entering his second year in the NFL. Jesse Minter's going to work with him, and I'm sure probably excited to do so. Here's the coach talking about the skill set needed to be a successful pass rusher in today's NFL.
Yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks. There's so many different types of quarterbacks right now, but I would say that one of the things that's just showing up over and over again is these guys' ability to extend plays and get out of the pocket. And so you want to have a combination of guys that can win one-on-one, that you can give them some freedom, and then you want the guys that can really constrict everything and keep them in the pocket. And so I think we have a really good blend now. You got guys that can rush inside and cover for some of the guys outside that can do those different types of things. Some of the stuff we had success with the three or four edges that we had last year in L.A. So, again, love the look of that room. Love what we've done to that room, you know, in the last couple months. And excited to get those guys out there and get ready to work.
Because the thing with Zion, too, Bob, is he can rush over to guard. You know, so you got Green who can come from the outside. Henriksen can come from the outside. Then you got some guys that can come, you know, from over the guard, you know, on the inside. And what he's taught, you know, being able to corral those quarterbacks. And, you know, why did Owe get a lot of sacks, Bob? Because, number one, he's got speed. And when you corral him, you're chasing him down. He had that kind of speed to be able to do that.
We're going to have more from the Ravens draft stuff with Jesse Minter. We're going to hear from some prospects as well. Also hear more from Eric DaCosta coming up at 1 o'clock-ish when we get to NFL lunch. We do have a draft profile coming up later this hour, as we said, Zion Young. But when we come back, let's count some dough. How about we do that? A little buy or sell. Talk about the sports subjects of the day. John Cooper from OurLads.com. He'll join us, too, to talk about Ty Simpson stunning the draft world, or at least the Rams did. Sean McVay didn't seem too cool with it, but,
no.
But it is what it is. And Carter Bonner, who's a four-star athlete out of St. Francis here in Baltimore, picked West Virginia as his school over Maryland, Virginia Tech, Tennessee, and Oregon State. So congratulations to you, Carter Bonner.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney. Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Orioles off today after losing 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox. NFL draft, rearview mirror. OTAs for the Ravens start May 18th, I believe. We know they're week 3. They're playing in Brazil against the Cowboys. That's going to be a national TV extravaganza. Schedule release will be coming up about 3 weeks as well. So plenty to get to there. But right now, let's count some dough. We'll buy or sell.
All righty. The Dow's down 52. The S&P is down 1. NASDAQ is down 38. DraftKings up 30 cents. Under Armour's up 11 cents.
I want to remind people here, Buy or Sell is brought to us by Jones Junction. Whether you're buying or selling, you need to visit Bel Air Hyundai and save with 0.99% 60-month financing on 2026 Santa Fe's and Tucson's gas or hybrid, or drive a new Elantra or Sonata with 1.99% 60-month financing. Visit BelAirHyundai.com to check out their great selection. Over to our first sports topic of the day. Comes from the world of Major League Baseball, where Mason Miller of San Diego is on one hell of a run to begin 2026. Last I checked, is yet to allow a run through 12 and a third. And was striking out over 70% of the batters he's faced for a league-best 9 saves. It's very, very early here, almost ridiculous to even talk about it in this sense, but the odds are out there, so I'll bring it up. NL Cy Young Award, he is currently 5th. Only 4 players have shorter odds than him. This is via DraftKings in the early season outlook. And remember, a few years ago, Emmanuel Clase, as a closer for Cleveland, did fantastic things over the span of 162, earned himself a top 3 finish in the American League Cy Young voting that year. Buy or sell, Bob, Miller will go on to finish at least top 5 for the National League.
I'll buy that 100%. He hasn't given up a run since last year. His strikeout to walk ratio, 27 Ks. Keep in mind, he throws 100 miles an hour. 2 walks. 2. This guy is a stud. And remember when the Oakland or the A's traded him to San Diego, there was some like small chatter that maybe move him back into a starting pitcher's role. No way. He is a weapon. Unlike weapons right now in baseball. And the Padres breathing down L.A.'s neck out there in the West.
Over to the NFL, where Patriots, Mike Vrabel, his absence from the Patriots' Day 3 draft room. That was a cause for headlines over the weekend. We understand the build-up to this. There's a lot of drama going on here. But all of that aside.
I haven't heard any either.
Well, yeah. No Google. Nonetheless, it's not really, you know, reasons, whatever, not really important here, but the point is, it's strange for a coach to miss any day during the draft, especially you know, when you were there for rounds one, two, three, but you're not going to be there for what's going on Saturday. It's unheard of for a coach to not be present is the point I'm making here. New England made six picks in total on Saturday, plus the undrafted free agent frenzy that follows. Their GM, Elliot Wolf, says not a big deal that the coach was not present. The quote here from Wolf: day three of the draft is really the scouts' day. It's the chance for some of these unheralded players to have the opportunity to get drafted. Maybe some of the guys that some of the coaches didn't even look at. Buy or sell, Vinny, Vrabel's absence isn't that big of a deal.
I would buy that 100%. You know, because Vrabel, more than likely, the guys 4 through 7, Vrabel probably hadn't seen any of them. So he really doesn't have much to say. You know, where he could help in the undrafted free agents is a recruiting on the phone.
But does day three give him some extra counseling? Is that what it is? Maybe he counsels better on the third day of the draft
than he did on the first or second? Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
I'm more open to counseling on day three.
Go back to baseball here. Some early season meltdowns by the Phillies and Mets has created a very sizable gap in the NL East standings. The Mets dropped 12 in a row at one point, have lost 15 of their last 17. Meanwhile, the Phillies hit 10 in a row on their losing streak. They've dropped 14 of their last 17. We've already seen Alex Cora. He abruptly got the boot for Boston. And there's usually at least a handful of managers that manage to get fired midseason every year. Chatter already starting up. It's been loud for both Thompson and Mendoza. Buy or sell, Bob, one of them will get fired by the end of May.
Oh, I'm buying it. And might even be both of them before it's all said and done. Because Brandon High got fired last year. I believe it was on Preakness Saturday after the Orioles blew that lead on Friday against the Nats. Because as we talked about earlier, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, and the Orioles are 2 games under .500 in April. And then they just totally cratered in May. And Hyder got the heave-ho because Nolan wanted him gone. And I guess they were listening to 105.7 The Fan at that time. Yes, I think both will be gone, Nolan, by the end of May.
The dust has settled on the NFL draft. Looking back over the entire weekend, I think the biggest surprise still remains Ty Simpson there to the Rams at 13 overall. The reactions from Sean McVay before, well, he even had a chance to say anything. People were reading his facial expressions. Then the brief comments he did make only had the speculation running even more wild online. Now, look, criticism for the pick was very loud as soon as it went through. But how much of a reach was it? There was second round grades mostly for Simpson. Thought was the earliest he would go is if a team wanted to sneak back up into the first round and seek that fifth year option flexibility on the contract. Buy or sell, Vinny, if the Rams did not take him at 13, he would have fallen all the way to the second round.
I'll buy that. I'll buy it. You know, would somebody have jumped back? It wasn't expensive to jump back in, so I guess possibly they could have, but I mean, Arizona was sitting there at, what, 33 or 34 anyhow.
And look, that pick, when it's all said and done, may end up being extremely smart, extremely prudent, but for a team that knows that their Super Bowl window and is even admitting that it's closing, and this might be their last year to go get it with their current quarterback, why would you pass on getting an instant starter in round one?
I would have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I would have taken receiver. I would have probably taken Lemon. Oh, I would have taken. So what did they take in the, like, their first pick, I think, was a tight end. They'd have taken Sadiq at 13.
That's an instant help.
How about Stafford? He's probably called McVay. So, well, what the hell?
Yeah.
How's he helping us win?
Maybe Stafford's wife will blog about it or something. Yeah, they got Max Clary in the second round, tight end.
Ohio State.
And Keegan Trost, tackle. C.J. Daniels from Miami, wide receiver in the sixth. And then Keenan, it looks like, defensive tackle, Alabama in the seventh. Yo, he did not look happy.
Plus, it was like they shouldn't have even had the pick to begin with. It was a bonus, right? They dealt their own to get the cornerback.
Atlanta.
Right?
They got it from Atlanta.
So they've got this extra one sitting here. It's a gift, and you just squander it.
Yeah, it looked like his hair gel was about to, like, pop right off his head. A hair was out of place for Sean McVay. When we come back, we'll talk about that Ty Simpson pick and others with John Cooper from OurLads.com. And then Vinny's draft profile number two. Go to the Ravens second round draft pick, who we heard earlier with Nolan. Zion Young out of Missouri by way of Michigan State. Stick around for that. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer at 1 o'clock. American League East report. What happened in the division over the weekend outside of the Orioles losing two to a last place team at home. And then another draft profile talking about a wide receiver the Ravens took in the fourth round, a guy that Vinny's very intrigued with.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball!
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
So if you're thinking of moving this summer, but it hadn't started the process yet because it's overwhelming, it's not too late. So if you don't want to spend a month getting your home ready, you don't need to settle for less money than your home is worth. You just need to call Lee Tessier, like the rest of us. Lee sees so many of those cash offers for your home billboards and gets the unsolicited texts too. He gets how convenient they are to take. What he doesn't get is why anyone would accept an offer for 30% less than their home is worth when Lee makes the same cash offer for fair market value. Lee's dedicated to saving you time and stress, too. With my buddy Lee's cash offer, there's no need for expensive repairs. You can sell your home as is and get paid what it's worth. So call the only agent I'd call if I had to sell my home, and that man's my good buddy, Lee Tessier. So call him today at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. That number again, 410-638-9555, or go to find listings at LeeTessier.com. And when you call Lee, just start packing.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This is BJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The dust has settled on the NFL draft, and even with some movement in the later rounds, the Ravens still ended up making 11 total selections over the weekend. Maybe the biggest surprise was something they didn't do, and that was address the center position. Eric DaCosta admits that his preferred targets were flying off the board earlier than anticipated, but why did they go without any notable additions in that area?
You know, there were some other centers, but good players, but there's nobody that's going to necessarily be an impact player for us this year. I do think we'll have a plan. I feel confident in saying that. I think we have a couple guys here that will compete. As the Hall of Fame general manager once said, you don't play games till September.
As it stands right now, Corey Bullock and former Colts depth piece Danny Pinter are the top options on the roster at the center position. The team also scooped up former Penn State starter Nick Dawkins as an undrafted free agent. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, mostly sunny with highs approaching 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
Got a draft profile, V. Serrato breaking on Zion Young. Coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Got Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Going to have some NFL lunch with us, top of the hour. American League East report at 1:15. And then a profile of Surratt, the wide receiver out of Indiana, who the Ravens took over the weekend. Bob Haney, V. Surratt, and Nolan McGraw joining us now to break down the draft as he saw it. It's in the books for 2026. Over 800,000 people showed up to Pittsburgh. It'll be down in D.C. next year. He's with OurLads.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show John Cooper. John, what's happening? Good afternoon. How you feeling today?
Oh, great. Just kind of taking it all in right now.
All right. Ty Simpson goes to the Rams. Sean McVay's eyes got a little wider than they normally are, I guess. John Lynch was smirking. So, you've broken him down and, you know, talked to our audience about his skill set. But when you saw that pick with the Rams, your stun level was what?
It was pretty high. You know, I knew there was a good chance he was going to go in the first round, but I thought it would be more like, you know, maybe down near Pittsburgh, or maybe somebody would trade up like the Cardinals into the first round to take him. But I didn't expect the Rams to take him.
Now, John, what did you think of Venga and Zion Young, the first two picks of the Ravens?
Well, you know, I honestly think that, and we think, you know, a guy does offensive line with us, Gene, that he may be the cleanest offensive lineman in this draft in terms of, you know, he didn't make mistakes. He's got good feet. And we went back and forth whether he was the best offensive lineman total between him and the two tackles that went. Either way, we had those guys really, really razor thin as far as how we graded them. And we think the Giants could have made a case to take him at their pick because they need a guard. I know they're going to play Maui Noah at guard. But we really, really like them. And we've gone back and forth as well who's better. And we've kind of decided, hey, they're equal. It depends on what you want. And we think Vega is a super, super pick for the Ravens.
Now, what about Zion Young?
Well, the thing about him is he's you know, a tough kid. He's kind of a tweener between an edge guy and a defensive tackle. You know, his athletic testing, from what I've seen, is close to a defensive tackle. Now, he's played, he has done some kicking inside. He wasn't an interior guy, but maybe he might get into a 4-eye once in a while. But he was a solid player. We think he's got pass rush upside, and he's going to play the run. He can set the edge. He's very good. I wonder if they might think about playing him as a 5 technique in their base defense. But he'll fit really good in the edge room for the Ravens. I like him a lot.
Now, how about Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt?
Well, big receivers. And, you know, I think the Ravens are looking for some size in there, especially to help in their red zone. You know, they're not necessarily, at least in Surratt's case, the greatest route runner in the world, but he looks like a power forward. He can go up and get the ball, as can Lane. They're very similar, and it looks like they're looking for size in their, you know, in their receiver core. And Lane moves pretty well too. He's got some twitch, you know, as far as route running. You know, neither one of those guys is a burner, and neither one of those guys is an absolute, you know, twitchy guy as far as route running, but they're big, they're physical, and they can go up and get the ball.
John, did you like Matthew Hebner out of SMU, who was at Michigan for 4 years and really just was a special teamer?
Yeah, he was a backup at Michigan. You know, he did a nice job at SMU. I know our guy who does tight ends had him probably graded a little lower than he went. But, you know, he's got a chance to develop into a fairly good two-way tight end. You know, he can block, you know, a little bit, and that's probably where, you know, he's going to have to upgrade maybe a little. But he's a decent receiver. He's a developing type of guy. I think they can develop him into a backup, a solid backup, and maybe take the place of Likely eventually. You know, that type of as a receiver, I think that's probably what they're looking at.
John, the only thing, like, with – I don't think he's got the explosiveness of Likely or the yak ability of Likely.
No, there's no question about that. He's not your explosive receiver. He's a decent route runner. You know, he knows how to get open in a short space, but you know, he's not the speed guy. He's not the guy that has that great change of direction, that great acceleration in and out of routes. No, he's definitely not that. You know, we had a lower grade on him, but we think that's kind of what they're looking at as him. As you know, kind of a possession type receiver, you know that's kind of you know the way I see it. And Quavis is another guy too down there as a tight end that they're obviously trying to replace Kohler and Likely in some way. And they got the kid from the Bears as a blocking tight end, you know. And these guys are going to compete for a roster spot. You know, one of them's going to be the guy. I think Hebner probably is more likely, but I think there's a lot of similarity between the two.
Now, Ryan Eckley, the punter from Michigan State, sounds like he was the best punter and only punter drafted.
He was the only punter drafted. He might not have been the best, but, you know, they were all kind of, you know, bunched up. Dahman was a guy that we kind of liked. Forsen, too. Inconsistent. The thing about Eckley is he can flip the field. That's the thing that we liked about him when we looked at him. I think he was the third punter on our board. But they were closely ranked, and we only had, I think, maybe, I'm not sure we had anybody projected to be drafted of those three, maybe one. But Eckley was, sixth round, which is a little surprise to me that he went that high. But they need a punter for sure, and he can flip the field. He's got big leg. Solid, he's a solid kicker. He's one of the better ones for sure in college football.
Now, John, do you think Spencer Fanoh, can he play left tackle? I mean, Cleveland's going to play him at the left tackle, and he hadn't played it since, I think, 2023. And I thought you had to prove to me that he could not play right tackle because of the arm length.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. We debated that one as far as where to rank him. You know, there's a part of me thinks he's a swing tackle type guy that can, kind of like McCarrie was for Baltimore, that he can play some guard, he can play some tackle. I think I would play him at right tackle, quite frankly, but I know too. Cleveland needs a left tackle. And so that's what they're drafting him for. I was a little bit surprised there. I thought maybe down the line, maybe trading down might have been better, or maybe taking one of those guys that actually were left tackles a little bit later on in the draft. But that was a little bit of a surprise. But I think he's a solid player. I mean, I think all three of those guys are good offensive linemen. But the thing is, you don't have a bona fide left tackle in that group. Mm-hmm. You're looking at guards and right tackles is what you're looking at with those guys for the most part. But if there's a guy that's close to being a left tackle, he would be the one.
John Cooper, OurLads.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. John, last thing for you. First round, favorite picks, least favorite picks, now that we're done with it.
Well, I liked Arvel Reese a lot, just because he's such a good football player. He's kind of a tweener. As an edge, he's an off-the-ball linebacker. He can do both. And I like guys that can do both things like that. And it seems there's a trend to have players that are versatile at those spots. That was the one that I liked a lot, in terms of where he went. I like Sonny Styles, too. I thought that was a really good pick. As far as the one I didn't like, that's kind of hard to say. I thought the kid from Arizona State, the tackle that Pitt took, I thought that was high for him. I understand he's a left tackle. We've got a guy that spends a lot of time at Arizona State watching, and he thinks he's raw. He thinks he's going to be a good player, but there's a lot of development to take place. So I thought that was a little high for him. Also, a little concerned about Peter Woods. I think that's a projection. He didn't play very well this year. There's some, good traits, and I think he was a traits-based pick. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see, how some of these guys develop.
Yeah, I saw Woods mocked to the Ravens a lot of times with 45.
Yeah.
When I'm going in the first. He's John Cooper, OurLads.com. John, always appreciate the time. You get a little rest now, and then I'm sure you'll start prospecting the 2027.
And yeah, it won't be long.
The words Arch Manning will be uttered millions of times.
Yeah, I know he already has been.
Thanks for the book, John. It was awesome.
Oh, great. I'm glad you liked it.
All right, John. Have a great day.
Hey, appreciate being on. Thanks a lot.
There is John Cooper, everybody. Max. We'll go with Max, the Pittsburgh first-round pick, because I'm not even trying that last night. When we come back, I can say Zion Young, and Vinny's going to introduce him to you, the Ravens fan. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, top of the hour, going to have some NFL lunch with us. American League East reported at 1:15, and another draft profile talking about one of the wide receivers coming up around 1:30.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Network.
If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you have to be fired up today after round one of the NFL draft. Not only keeping star receiver George Pickens, who signed the franchise tag, you get Ohio State safety Caleb Downs, an absolute stud. You draft pass rusher Malachi Lawrence at 20th overall, so you keep the star receiver so the offense is going to cook, and you add two players to this defense. I think Dallas will win the NFC East this coming season. I'm Nick Costos.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles, 105.7 The Fan.
Of course, I got hell raising my bio, but that's me. I raise hell, especially on the field. Y'all will see pretty soon. I feel like words are an understatement. Of course, that's been in my bio since, what, 11th grade. But words are an understatement for sure.
That is Ravens' second-round draft pick, Zion Young, talking about being a hell raiser. And the Ravens certainly want him to raise some hell for this defense in 2026. So without further ado, Vinny, let's break down Zion Young.
All right, Zion Young, Missouri, 6'6", 262, ran 4.76. 33-inch arms, 9.5 hands. He was a three-star recruit, went to Michigan State. 2 years at Michigan State, 47 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. 24, transferred to Missouri, 13 games, 42 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. And in 25, he was the captain, 13 games, 9 sacks, 9.5 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 37 quarterback hurries, 9 quarterback hits, second team All-SEC. Strengths, height, keeps his feet moving in pass, shows some upper strength and punch lockout, shows a burst of the quarterback, good leverage, power in a bull rush, good athlete. Does a good job first step in pass at times. Shows a spin move with good balance, good motor. He can rush from inside and out. Quick hands. Plays with good leverage for a tall guy. Good chop rip. Shows some ability to bend the corner. Good athlete. Good job versus the run, staying square and maintaining leverage. Keeps his feet moving. Quick hands. He's versatile, set the edge, transfer power from hip to hands, good stack at the point, plays with nasty. Weakness, he's high cut, laid off the snap some, long speed, questionable, ability to bend the corner all the time, inconsistent with that, must stay low consistently on takeoff in pass, lacks a go-to move, needs counter move. Inconsistent pad level, not comfortable dropping into coverage. Two off-the-field incidents. Michigan State tunnel fight as a freshman and a DWI arrest December 2025 still pending. In summary, I said I like this kid's size, ability to play the edge. He shows good leverage and hand use versus the run. He will need more explosive first step in pass and will need to learn more counters to be a consistent rusher. Versatile player, can move inside and pass and is a mismatch inside. Shows ability to bend the corner, better fit for 4-3. Right now, not I wouldn't take at 14, but I would take at 45.
Well, that's what they did. So where does he fit in with the new Jesse Minter defense? You have Hendrickson, Mike Green, as we talked about earlier, year two. I don't know where these Isaac fits in, if he fits in at all. But yeah, Zion Young, what's the perfect world scenario for him as a rookie?
I think as a rookie, Bob, run stuff, setting the edge on the outside and then in the nickel and stuff, I would think play him over the guard, play him inside, rushing the passer because he's a mismatch inside. Who was the guy that the Ravens had before that did a phenomenal job of that? Whenever he moved inside, he was always a mismatch.
Was it Clowney?
No. Before Clowney. Went to Cleveland. I think he was at Cleveland some.
Kruger?
No. Oh, shoot. I can't remember his name, but that's what he could be like. Because he's got versatility, and 6'6", can play the run. So I think he'll be a versatile guy, Bob. I think he's going to be helped. I think in the past, he'll probably help earlier over the guard.
Later in the show, coming up around 1:30, we're going to break down Surratt, the wide receiver out of University of Indiana, where he won a national championship. But didn't have time to get into this with John Cooper. But Jermaine McCoy fell to the fourth round, the cornerback out of Tennessee. Yep. And apparently there might be another procedure that needs to be performed as well. Because we had, when you were up in Pittsburgh, we had Adam Schefter, Eric Edholm.
And we asked what was the more concerning injury, the wide receiver who went to New Orleans, Tyson, and McCoy. McCoy said Tyson was more like a bad luck. He just ran into maladies that would keep him off the field. But this stuff with McCoy seemed pretty severe. And you said when you did the profile a couple weeks back on him, he was better than Nate Wiggins at his peak.
Oh, Bob, last year, if he would have been able to be in the draft last year, you know, with the way that he played, he'd been top 10, top 15 pick. I mean, he was that good. That he had like 16 pass defense. You know, I mean, he was phenomenal ball skills. But durability, Bob, and that's the thing. And, you know, is he going to have arthritis in that knee? And if he's going to have arthritis in the knee, then how much practice time you're missing and all that? So that's the concern. Something about a plug in the knee, or I don't understand.
It was beyond just you know the normal ACL, PCL and all that stuff. But either way, fourth round draft pick to the Raiders. He even said, look, I'll do whatever they need me to do. He might redshirt this year when it's all said and done. Because if he does get that plug watching NFL Network, that's going to be a lengthy recovery time too.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kid because, you know, he's so... And Bob, the money that he lost out on, you know, is... Especially in his first deal here. Because he would have been... He was mocked all... Bob, he was mocked all over the first 10 picks of the draft.
Right. Now, Mendoza goes number one. As we've had, you know, I've had plenty of time to talk to him, talk about him. What do you think the Raiders did in totality? You know, maybe, obviously, they signed Tyler Linderbaum to a zany contract, which kind of put the Ravens up against it. But you got a veteran center, young veteran center, but a veteran center nonetheless to go with Mendoza. I mean, if you're the Raiders, would you prefer that he starts day one, or you got Kirk Cousins there? You know, maybe old Kirk gets some early sacks and beat up a little bit, and then Mendoza, you know, slowly but surely works himself into the equation.
I think that all that, Bob, all that depends on Mendoza. How, you know, the OTAs, the mini camps, and he'll play a ton in the preseason. How does he look? Is he ready? And I don't think you know that yet. And if he's ready and they can protect for him, then play him. Otherwise, if they're not, you know, if the O-line, if he's going to get the crap beat on him, put in Cousins.
Yeah, and Raiders drafted a center in the third round, too. You see that?
Yes,
Trey Zune, the kid from Texas A&M.
Yeah, and he must be able to play guard, too, or something, Bob. Four-year starter. He was named a first-team all. Lacks the ideal length for a tackle. Play tackle in college. So they're going to play him at guard, Bob. He's 6'6", 312. So he'll be a guard for them.
Yeah, Raiders trying to get back to some level of relevance here after they have not been. It's not the Raiders we grew up with where they were contenders every year. It's been a long time since they've been living in that reality for sure. When we come back, Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, get his thoughts on the draft that was, the offseason that is still very much part of it. It's rookie mini camps and OTAs right around the corner. The schedule will be coming out in a few weeks, so stick around. American League East report, Orioles dropped 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. We'll revisit and talk about the other teams in the division over the weekend, look at tonight's games, and another draft profile coming up at 1:30, and then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over. Two, no Orioles baseball tonight, licking their wounds before Houston comes to town.
This is the Fan, baby.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan.
Hey, everybody, it's Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at Giant food stores, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo card code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? A family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought there has to be a smarter way to do it. and I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for $10 on your first purchase at any Giant food store. Offers may vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.